Hello, and welcome to A Curious Person's Guide to La Boheme, previewing Hawaii Opera Theatre's upcoming production of Puccini's popular favourite, which opens at the Blaisdell Concert Hall on Friday, October 14. You just heard the very opening of the opera. A good friend of mine, the distinguished conductor Sir Mark Elder, has a theory that Puccini started the opera with music calculated to grab the attention of noisy Italian audiences. Mark says that audiences in Italy to this day continue to talk and chatter until the operas are well underway. Puccini uses the device of a loud, short, 40-bar overture to startle the audience into silence. La Bohème is probably one of the top three operas in the classical charts, but it was not always regarded so highly by the critics. The composer Claude Debussy, for example, was scathing about an Italian composer trying to write a French opera. Even if Monsieur Puccini is attempting to recapture the atmosphere of the streets and people of Paris, it is still an Italian noise he makes, he said. Here is our conductor, Karen Keltner, on the subject.
When I started at university and studying opera, it was still considered, Puccini particularly, by many of the Europeans, it was still considered by some folks cheap, not worthy, not really grand opera. And I never understood that. The sophistication of the writing, the realism it presents, the fact that singers and audience identify so strongly with something that speaks immediately to them, with energy and about life, always made me curious, to the extent that I wondered sometimes, as with reviews, Do people who criticize just take the opposite tack from what the enjoyment level they see happening in the audience? Now, that's changed even while I was a student, so that Puccini was considered seriously and taken for what he is, which I think is a master of storytelling and musical drama.
HOT's production comes from Opera Theatre of St. Louis and is directed by Chuck Hudson. Here is Chuck's take on the setting for La Bohème.
The thing that's funny for me about this, I lived in Paris in my 20s, and I recognized these people. I was studying theater with Marcel Marceau in my 20s, so I was living in an apartment like we see in Acts 1 and 4. I was sharing it with four other people. There was a juggler that was in one room that was working. There was a knife thrower in another. There was a painter in another. There were actors rehearsing their scenes, musicians out on the tin roof playing, the Eiffel Tower in the background. It was exactly what you want your Paris experience to be in your 20s when you're studying art. And that's who these people are. They're avant-garde, forward-thinking young artists in love in the City of Light.
And here is Chuck Hudson again to tell us about the period in which he's setting the opera.
The opera was written in the 1840s, and we're moving it into the 1890s. In the 1840s, the original costume, if you look at For Mimi, the kind of young, sexy hairdo of the time, she looks exactly like Princess Leia. It was the hairy earphones on the side, which we would today look at and go, that is not an attractive hairstyle on a young one. In the 1890s, where we're setting it, it's the fin de siècle in Paris. It's really the time when color and light and art were really happening there. Starting in the 1890s, technology and art started moving forward. There were acid colors in paint and fabric and dye that were available that weren't available before 1890. So bright pinks and yellows and purples and blues that I think really bring the youth, the vitality, and the love alive on stage. 1840s is a lot of gray and brown and black. It's kind of like you're watching a Christmas carol rather than watching a love story set in Paris.
The opera's story is set in the Latin Quarter of Paris. As Act One begins, two struggling young artists, the poet Rodolfo and the painter Marcello, are working in their squalid, unheated garret. They are joined by their fellow Bohemians, Colline, the philosopher, and Schaunard, a musician. Their landlord, Benoit, demands the rent, but they manage to distract him, and everyone decides to go out drinking. Except, that is, for Rodolfo. He stays to finish his work. When Rodolfo is alone, there's a knock at the door. It's Mimi, a young seamstress who is lost in the dark and looking for a candle. Rodolfo invites her in, and they get to know each other through two very famous arias. Rodolfo introduces himself and his dreams in the aria, Your Tiny Hand is Frozen, Che Gelida Manina. And here is our Rodolfo, Mackenzie Whitney.
I think whether you've been to the opera once, zero times, 100 times, if you allow yourself, the music will just take you away into a dream. It's just such amazing, beautiful music. And the chemistry we're developing on stage, I think, is going to be really something special to see. So you don't want to miss it.
Mimi's introduction is the aria Mi chiamano Mimi. They call me Mimi, but my name is Lucia.
Thank you.
In H.O.T.'s production, Mimi is played by Elizabeth Caballero.
Rodolfo, I think, has the most taxing role in the opera. He starts the show and he ends the show. He's in almost every scene except for the scene between Mimi and Marcello, but then he comes in soon after that. So his role is the longest one, but Mimi has a lot of beautiful music. My favorite act is Act Three, though. And the conversations that happened before that too, you know, and the way it just opens up, it really sounds the way snowfall would sound like. It's beautiful.
The situation is ripe for romance, and the two are quickly drawn to each other. But soon they hear shouts from the street, and off they go to join Rodolfo's friends. In Act Two, Rodolfo and Mimi join the others at the Café Momu. It's Christmas Eve, and everyone's ready to party. We meet Marcello's capricious girlfriend, Musetta. Tonight, she has a wealthy escort named Alcindoro. Still, her coquettish aria, Quando men vo, when I wander by, is clearly meant to get Marcello's attention. Henry Aquina, HOT's artistic director, has assembled a wonderfully talented young cast for this production. Here is our Marcello, Wes Mason.
You put us together and we do look like a group of friends. We look like we'd be dating each other, you know, we look like we're part of the same gang.
When Marcello responds to Musetta's wiles, she makes a scene, driving Alcindoro away. But when the bill comes, no one has the money to pay it. So the Bohemians take off. When Alcindoro returns looking for Musetta, he gets stuck with a tab. Act 3 takes place outside a tavern on the outskirts of Paris during the early hours of the morning. It is dark and snowing. Marcello has been hired to paint the inn, and Musetta is giving singing lessons. Mimi appears. She's pale and stricken by a terrible racking cough. When Marcello comes out of the tavern, Mimi tearfully tells him that Rodolfo's jealousy is making their relationship unbearable. When Rodolfo emerges, Mimi hides in the shadows. She listens while Rodolfo explains to Marcello that he does have fits of jealousy, but they're really phony. He pretends to be jealous because he is worried about Mimi's health, and thinks that their living conditions only contribute to her obvious illness and suffering. Mimi's coughing gives away her hiding place, and Marcello hears Musetta flirting in the tavern and rushes back to find her, leaving Rodolfo and Mimi alone. They reluctantly agree to separate, and she sings the beautiful aria, Donde l'età, Once I Enjoyed Your Cries of Love. Ascolta, ascolta, e poche robe ad una che mi lascia. But when Marcello and Musetta come out of the tavern still arguing, their quarrel moves Mimì and Rodolfo to agree to stay together. The quartet that ends the act reveals two intense but very different relationships. Act 4 takes place back in the garret where the opera began. Rodolfo and Marcello are working, but their minds are on their former lovers. Colline and Schaunard return with some food, and the scene turns jolly. The mood quickly changes when Musetta arrives with Mimì, who is plainly dying. Her friends try to scrape some money together to get help. Musetta takes off her earrings and gives them to Marcello to sell for medicine and a doctor. Colline reluctantly decides to part with his favourite overcoat, bidding it farewell in one of the opera's most moving arias. When Rodolfo and Mimì are left alone, they tenderly recall their first meeting in this same apartment. The others return, and they all try to make Mimì more comfortable. But she grows quiet and dies, leaving Rodolfo despondent at her side. Yes, the opera ends sadly, but it's also full of love and romance. Here's director Chuck Hudson again.
It's one of the most user-friendly operas that is out there. For people that have never seen an opera before, this music is extremely romantic. The story is very romantic. It's a story about young people falling in love in Paris. And seriously, it makes you, on a date night, it makes you want to put your arm around your partner and just snuggle up close.
And let's give the final word to Mimì.
if you've never seen an opera, I always say Bohème is the first, one of the safest operas that you should go see, because it's beautiful music. You've heard it in commercials and movies and so many things that people use all over the place. So the music is beautiful. And I think the story is very relatable to every one of us, especially if you're a kid in high school or in college. We've all lived that bohemian life. Even if you're 85, you remember of when you were in college and you had roommates and stuff like that. So we've all been there, you know. It's just a really relatable, beautiful story told through song.
Thank you for listening to A Curious Person's Guide to La Bohème, supported by Bonnie Rice and the Rice Partnership Wealth Management. I am your host, Simon Crookall. Please join me at the Blaisdell Concert Hall on October 14, 16, and 18. Tickets are at hawaiiopera.org or at 808-596-7858.